Hi there, it's Bob Surratt.
And Marianne Murciano. Hello, happy Friday.
Let's get started with the business lunch hour. And from the Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation page, he reports on startup ventures. John Carpenter is here. And John, you've come across something that will be helpful after the holidays when we're dealing with these gift cards. Talk about that.
This is a new Chicago startup called Raise.com that has basically created an online marketplace for people to buy and sell unwanted or wanted, if you're a buyer, gift cards. And that's not necessarily new. There are definitely websites that do this. But what Raise has done has created a mobile app, so you can do it on your phone, and it's a real marketplace. So if you have a $100 Best Buy card, and you know that you're just never going to go there anymore, you don't need any of that stuff, and you want to sell it, you can go onto this site, see that Best Buy cards are selling for $85 for a $100 card. So that's what you price it at because you want it to sell. And a person can literally be in line at a store, pick up their phone, go onto this app if they have the app, find an $85, basically get $100 worth of value for $85, walk up to the register, use it from their phone. So it's a pretty strong move into that marketplace, because I think before these websites, people have figured out for a while that there's a lot of gift cards out there that people don't use and want to get rid of. So there's websites, but those were really for like the really well-organized kind of coupon-cutting people who were going to go online, look for these things, get them mailed to them often sometimes. This is, you know, you get the app, you go in the store, and you know, like everything, the apps talk back and forth to each other. So if you sign up for it, you'll walk into a store and you'll get a little text message that says, "Hey, I see you're in Target. We can get you gift cards right now."
Okay, so you're saying that these cards then would be used. It's not that you get it from a place. It's person to person.
Right.
Just like music sharing.
Exactly.
In the old days.
Right.
And so this is coupon sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing.
You would go on. You would log in the serial number of the card. It would verify that the card has value. Most of these cards now don't expire. And so the app would verify, you know, from the vendor that, okay, this is a real card. It's worth $100 or it's worth $50. And then you price it. If you want it to, you know, if you want it to move right away, you might price it for $75.
It's not a name that would make me remember what it is. It's called Raise, RAISE.com. That's
right.
Where you register for this. I'm not sure I understand what it means or if I would remember Raise.
Yeah. Bad marketing, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it's my favorite name either, but you know.
Good idea, though.
It is a good idea.
It seems like it's always the college application season these days.
Yeah.
And you've got a report on a Chicago startup that's involved in this.
Right. It's called Next Tier. And there are a lot of, again, similar to this other story, there are already quite a few digital tools for the college application process. Naviance is probably the one that most people are familiar with, kind of a big player in the market, both in terms of helping find the right college and helping prepare. What Next Tier is all about is the application process. They have preloaded all the deadlines, all the key information you need for just about every college that you're going to want to apply to. So let's say you choose Northwestern. You say, "I'm applying to Northwestern." Immediately onto that app, all of, you know, when the essay needs to be done, when do your letters of recommendation need to be done, when do your grades have to be forwarded to them. And the wrinkle that they've added is gamification, which is kind of a new thing where you if you get that essay in on time, you're going to get a badge. If you get the professor recommendations in on time, you're going
to
get a
badge. What does it mean that you got a badge?
Right now it means nothing, but this is a for-profit thing. They down the road they see linking to sponsors, so you might get a chance to win a video game. You might get a video game.
See.
You
okay.
might get a chance to win. You know, the marketing opportunities for people who are going to college. You know, you can see airlines being a sponsor of this site. Okay, you've chosen UCLA, so they're obviously going to try to market to you as a potential flyer.
Okay, so now what is going to be really annoying about this is that a lot of kids, when they're in high school, they're told apply to 3 target schools, 3 safety schools, and 3 reach schools. So
right.
You're talking about 9 schools sending notices on when the essay's due, when the first day of something is, when the last day of something. I mean, you're going to, your phone's going to go exploding.
It's right. Well, the other way to look at it, I think the way the next year guys would look at it is say, well, imagine you're a kid trying to keep all that straight without this. And but one of the, as a parent of a 15-year-old, one of the things that, and I'm not saying that I would necessarily use this site, but it also sends those notices to your parents, and it also sends them to your school. And so basically, you as a parent, you've got all these things laying out there, and I think it's kind of nice, the idea of, and some of these other, like Naviance, I think will do this too, where you'll get a note that just says, oh, by the way, you know, Bobby's essay to Northwestern is due on Friday, mm-hmm. and he hasn't turned it in yet. And so then you can.
I would,
you
know, like to know that.
Yeah. It's the question for this site. I mean, Naviance, which is the big one, they make money by charging schools. School districts sign up for it. They share data, and then they tell their students to use it. And it's a really comprehensive tool. So they have a pretty clear revenue model. Their revenue model is going to revolve around marketing and sponsorship and things like that. And so there's a lot of potential there. And it seems like, you know, they've got a good idea, but, you know, it's a little less clear.
Marianne, you are going to love this idea. John's got a story about, these guys got started on Kickstarter from Northwestern, right? And this is a device that people are going to want to buy. Tell us about this.
It's Ampy. And it did really well on Kickstarter. I think they raised, I want to say $300,000, but they far exceeded their goal on Kickstarter. It's a kinetic battery charger. There are other kinetic battery chargers.
What
out
does
there.
That mean?
It means it works on motion. So you basically, with the Ampy, as I understand it, you can almost put it anywhere on your body. I mean, if you put it somewhere where it doesn't move very much, it's not going to get much charge, but you could put it in a bag. You could, if you're a runner, you could obviously, it's not very big. You can put it on your wrist, you can put it on your leg, and for if you're a runner, you're easily going to get enough battery charge. Their real focused selling point is for a reasonably active person during the day, you're going to get 3 or 4 more hours of battery life. So what it's really charging
is... But it's a charger that is charging as you move?
Right.
It's a charger that charges as you move, and then so then after... when you need to back up your to charge up your phone, then you take it off and then you charge up your phone.
Or really, you put it, you take it out of your bag or take it out of your pocket. But I mean, it's aimed at the people whose phones die at 4:30 or 5 o'clock before their day is
and
over.
And they're active,
right?
Northwestern engineers have been working on this for a long time.
Yeah.
Any idea when it would come to market?
It's the Kickstarter is helping them. They're ready to go. They're ready to make it. I think they need to figure out exactly where they're going to make it. They would like to make it here in Illinois. I think that might be a reach. They might have to go overseas to make it. But what the Kickstarter is all about is getting. They've now got that cash, and I don't know when they're promising it, but it's a matter of months before people are
like
going to be able to get it.
We'd like to invest now.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's a good idea because. To me, what's good about it is it's not just for runners. You know, I think I walk a long way, as a lot of people walk from your parking spot or from the train station, you're going to get some battery life out of that.
And John, that's a great story. And it's John Carpenter, Blue Sky Innovation. Talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Business travel time, and the proprietor of the internet travel site, the internet travel site, johnnyjet.com, is with us. Johnny Jett, I referred to you as the man about the world a few minutes ago, Johnny.
That's very nice of you.
Hi, Johnny.
Thank you. Hello, Marianne.
Let's talk about Black Friday and Cyber Monday travel deals. Are there any?
There are. It's going to be a good time to start shopping for travel. So... actually, I created a list. It's still growing. It's on my homepage, but I'm getting press release after press release, so I'm just trying to take the best ones out there. So far, you can go on a cruise from Miami to Rome, 20 nights for $1,000. $1,100, so it's $55 per person per night.
Okay, so that it's cheaper then to go to Rome on a cruise from Miami than it is to not go.
Well, then to fly from Chicago to Miami.
It's true, because all your food's included.
Exactly, everything's included.
Just don't drink alcohol and don't bet in the casino.
Who has 20 days, by the way? I've been looking at cruises, and I can't even imagine having 20 days. I've seen 20-day cruises, 30-day cruises. I can't see that in my lifetime.
These are the repositioning cruises. So this is when they're going from the Caribbean to Europe for the summer. So this is in late April. There's another one, a 17-night for $9.99 per person.
Starting when?
17 nights. This one's April 26th, and that one goes to Barcelona to May 13th. The first one I mentioned was April 26th to May 16th, and then there's another one that's going from New York City on April 29th to Rome on May 16th, and that's $59 per person per night.
And you've got
crazy deals.
You've got some hotel deals listed on your site, too. Are these also Black Friday specials? What are these?
They're a mix of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, so I have all the info on where to book, what the deal is. For example, Hotel Tonight, which is a great app. We've talked about it before on the show. They're going to be offering $7 rooms on Black Friday. And then on Cyber Monday, they're going to offer $70 hotel rooms that are for rooms near big malls in major cities.
All right, the complete list at johnnyjet.com on that.
What about flights on Black Friday? Will there be some good deals? I once got some really great deals to fly from Chicago to New York. I mean, it was like $20-something, really. I could not believe it. But will we see anything like that?
Well, Black Friday is a great time to fly because no one's really flying. But you're not going to see – I don't think you're going to see any deals. If they do, we won't know about it till the day before or that morning. So, but I highly doubt it since the airlines aren't – they don't really need to offer big incentives for people to travel because all the planes are full.
Right. Johnny,
the best time to travel is Black Friday or the week after Thanksgiving or the week after New Year's.
We mentioned this earlier when we were talking to John Williams. Delta Airlines is going to start giving out frequent flyer miles based on ticket prices instead of distance traveled beginning January 1st. United is going to make that same change March 1st. Are all of the frequent flyer programs of the airlines about to change in the new year, Johnny?
Well, American is the one that's holding out, and I hope they do. They haven't done it, people think, because their merger with U.S. Airways is not completely finished. But I think they might wait and see if they get a big jump in traffic. But unfortunately, consumers don't really make these big deals. I mean, they don't vote by their money. That's what the airlines are watching. So, for example, when American used to offer a lot more legroom than everyone else, people weren't booking with American, so they just took it out. And this is what JetBlue did this week. I don't know if you saw that, but JetBlue made a huge announcement saying that they're going to decrease legroom and they're going to start charging for the first bag, which they used to give away for free.
Are the airlines refurbishing their planes? I saw this video that I'm going to post on our Facebook page later.
The Emirates A380.
Yes, yep. Is that true? And is that have you seen that video? And going around?
I actually watched it. It's my video of the week for next week's newsletter. I just saw it last night.
It's just unbelievable how they redid that airplane. Is that what airlines are doing, or are they just not doing that or buying new airplanes?
No, I mean, they're doing it, but Emirates has a lot of money, first of all. And they do this I don't know how often they do it, but I think it's every year or few. And then they just completely take it out of service. I think it's every 3 years, and they take it out of service for about 55 days. But that video is only 2 minutes long.
Right. It was 55 days in a time lapse, and then it ended up being 2 minutes long. It is amazing to see that. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one to look. So, the airlines do it, and now what they're doing, the trend is they're buying these slimline seats, which are a lot lighter, so it saves on fuel. But passengers aren't very happy about them. There's not a lot of cushion in there, so your butt hurts after 5 hours of flying or a few hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, yours hurts because you fly how many miles a year?
I fly a lot, 150,000.
Oh, man. That's why you're the man about the world, not just the man about town. More on johnnyjet.com. Thank you, as always, Johnny. Happy, safe travels. Have a good holiday.
Yeah, Johnny.
You too.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. In the hashtags, likes, and shares department, the Tribune's So Social columnist, Scott Kleinberg.
Hello.
Scott.
Hi, Scott. I
see this number here, and I can't believe it. About 3.6 billion people, half the world's population, will be online at least once a month by 2018.
Yeah, yeah, pretty amazing. All those inexpensive mobile phones that are out there and all that access to broadband on your phone, that is driving up the use of internet.
But that's one of those statistics that they don't really make sense, because who's on the internet for only once a month?
Well, that's true. And you wouldn't think, especially somebody like me, you know, I'm on every single second of the day, but
right.
Yeah.
And there's a story kind of related to this. Apparently, the boys and girls at Google stopped playing ping pong and came up with an idea that's going to spread the internet even further, isn't it?
It's called Project Loon, and it's a really, really weird name for a really great idea. It is balloon-powered internet. So they are taking the type of cell signal that you have on your phone, and they're launching it into the atmosphere, high up into the atmosphere in the southern hemisphere. They're launching about 100 balloons a day, and these balloons provide internet to places that can't normally get internet.
And how is that going to work? I mean, are the balloons going to stay in the air?
That's what they do. They stay in the air for a set period of time. They get better over time in terms of how they're made, so they last for a while.
So they're like
satellites. They relaunch them. Yes, they're, but they're like temporary for now. And then they fall, and then they launch them again. But they're getting so much better that eventually I think they will be like satellites. I think you're exactly right.
You've got a story today about Twitter letting you share public tweets through direct message. Now, I'm still confused sometimes on Twitter and on Facebook about sending messages to people and who sees them and how that all works. What is Twitter doing?
Well, what Twitter's trying to do is they have this big thing going on where they have to be more user-friendly, or so they say they have to be more user-friendly. So now they think that if you take a tweet and you paste it into a direct message, a private message, it's going to automatically populate the tweet the same way it would populate a link on Facebook. So you have the opportunity to talk about the tweet more in a private setting than you do a public setting.
But this is the same amount of characters, 140?
Same amount of characters,
so,
yes.
So you, I mean, there's not a lot that you can do with that.
No, there's not too much. You would have the link and a little bit of words to talk about, and then you can have a full conversation. But to Twitter, this is like their version of Facebook Messenger, but you get the ability to share the tweet in the message. So it's useful in a way,
On what you use? Like, for example, if I want to retweet something that somebody wrote.
Yes.
If I'm just using the Twitter app, I can only retweet. I can't add to that. But then if I use like the deck or something else,
right?
You do have the ability to add to the retweet. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you can do a manual retweet in that way. Those are public tweets that you're talking about where you're retweeting and talking to someone. The direct message thing is a very specific conversation that I could set up with you and just have this Twitter conversation between the two of us, and we're the only ones that
see it. All right. So I have been up during the night, and I have seen these private conversations taking place between Albert Brooks and Steve Martin.
Is that what you're doing at night?
That's what I'm doing. And I laugh because, to me, the way they're talking to each other, I feel that they don't think anyone else sees that.
Well, it's not private.
No, they probably don't. And what happens is, that's fascinating, because what happens is if you start a tweet with someone's name, people think that's private. That's not. What that means is the people who follow that one person and the people who follow the other person's, that's the audience of the tweet.
Right, so and I follow both of them.
Right.
So I keep seeing.
Which is why you see it, right.
So explain this to me, Scott. So on my smartphone, I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and then there's a little arrow that lets you answer a tweet.
Sure.
That's
sure.
what it is, right?
The little reply, yes.
Little reply. And then if I do reply, who sees that?
If you reply to someone directly, the people who see it would be the people who follow you and the people who follow that person. Anytime you have a name in the beginning, you might see a lot of people put a period before the name on a tweet. That's a way to get around that. When you put anything before the person's name, then it goes out to everybody wide. But when you leave the person's name in front, you're limiting it to that audience of the two people that are default.
All right, you're going to, Marianne, do you mind if I invite Scott to the house for the weekend so I can
spend the weekend
figure
with Scott,
this stuff out?
Go away with him, go somewhere nice and sunny, then figure out Twitter.
Talk about this story out of London about tweeting, and somebody was trapped, I guess, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people were trapped. This was a Eurostar trains. They had some sort of power outage, so the trains from London to Brussels and the trains from London to Paris, 600 people on one, 700 people on the other, stuck in tunnels, and people tweeting. And in some cases, they said one of the longest delays was 9 hours. I just can't imagine being trapped on a metro train for 9 hours and having nothing to do but tweet about it.
Well,
even
you know
me,
what?
I can't imagine that.
There was a time you were stuck and you didn't have your smartphone to play around
That's
with.
That's very true. Crossword puzzle or something,
yeah,
I don't know.
You would have to daydream or think or talk to somebody. Now, we have to have a little holiday story, and you've got something about Thanksgiving and Spotify.
This is a really, really cool idea. If you use Spotify, you can create a playlist to listen to, and it can be based on how long it takes your turkey to cook. So if you tell Spotify, my turkey takes 4 hours to cook, they will help you create a playlist that lasts with 4 hours of really great music, I guess.
And the content, will it be turkey related?
It doesn't say.
Thanking?
It says it will suggest songs for you, but that you can also make your stuff. So I'm assuming there'll be a little bit of each, but it's available for all subscribers. Usually those things are just for premium subscribers. This is for everybody, and that's a fun idea.
It is. Scott Kleinberg, Tribune, So Social column. Have yourself a good holiday, Scott.
Thanks,
thank
Scott.
You. Do the same.
Rod and Marciano on the Business Lunch Hour, and this is something I really love, the focus on local business, and we do this, I guess, once a year. You hear about it, but we should be doing this every day, and we spotlight a lot of local business, independent folks, ma and pa, small operations on the broadcast all the time. And today, Chicago Treasurer Stephanie Neely and Roxanne Nava, the Chief Small Business Officer for the city, are with us to talk about small business and more. Hello, folks. Welcome. Good
Hi
to have
there.
You here.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Stephanie, we love the idea of buying local.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Stephanie, why don't you start and tell us what the city's doing?
Well, you know, a lot of people get in their cars and they waste gasoline. They go out to the big boxes and they buy something that's probably made in China, and they take all their money, and that money's not recirculated back into the community. And so when you stay local, you save gas, and about 70% of your money is recycled into the community. Chicago is a city of neighborhoods. We got a lot of nicknames, but we're a city of neighborhoods, and we're asking people to take a dollar a day, so about $365 a year, and spend it locally in your own neighborhood. It really does create jobs. These are the people who support our sports teams. And so buy local. That's what we want you to do.
And the problem with buying local is that a lot of times I don't know what a certain neighborhood is selling. I mean, or what do they have to offer me? And how do I find out about that?
But, you know, there are a lot of restaurants. I mean, Roxanne, please jump in. Restaurants and you know,
there's
stores.
Restaurants, there's places to eat, where you can eat. You could do professional services. So the reality is, when you're a locally owned businesses, more than likely you're going to hire local residents. You're going to do your own procurement. You're probably going to hire from a local garden. So we've got the restaurants that are hiring from local gardens. And so it is and what's wonderful is that throughout our neighborhoods, whether you're in Bronzeville, Chatham, West Humboldt Park, you know, they're all saying, just take the train. Just come on down and go down the strip and
go explore.
You know, explore the neighborhood, because we have the best backyard in town. We've got all worlds represented.
Yes, we
here.
Do. And when you patronize these establishments, you're helping the neighbors.
You really are. You're getting rid of all the blight that's in these neighborhoods, and you're supporting really local initiatives from, you know, sports teams and cheerleading squads, and you're hiring people close by. And it really does help our neighborhoods, whereas going to the big boxes doesn't really help the neighborhoods.
People just don't think about it. People just
We want to change that.
Right, and that's why to do this, this is what you need.
Well, you got
to
do a little research.
And it recirculates the money back into the economy. I mean, if you just spent a little bit a day, like $100 a year, something very simple, couple cents a day, you know, it's $94 million in a year that it would make an impact of recirculating that money back into our economy.
Doesn't American Express do something every year on this? On
they
small
do as
business?
Well.
Small Business Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's right after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And that's one day.
Black Friday.
That's one day.
Small Business Saturday.
But we're saying 365 days a year, we've got our businesses in our thriving neighborhoods no matter where you go, we've got vibrant neighborhoods.
All right. If you don't have a website or something on the city site set up for all of this information, I'll start one, but I'm sure you've got one, don't you?
You can go to my website, which is chicagocitytreasurer.com. I'm sure the mayor's
office
probably has
it. Or the City of Chicago Small Business Center website.
Oh, I like that one. Give that address again.
It's great. cityofchicago.org/SBC for Small Business Center.
Okay, that's probably the easiest way, right? Uh-huh. No offense, Stephanie.
You can go to
the City Treasurer site, too, if you like. But as you say, this is a city of neighborhoods, and times are tough for everybody, and we certainly want even the big guys to do well, but especially for those family businesses, it's rough out there, isn't it?
It is a tough time, you know, but the silver lining in the downturn in the economy is people really did start staying closer to home, and as opposed to going to a big hardware store, you're going to your neighborhood hardware store, you're starting to buy your flowers in the neighborhood, you're staying by local grocery stores. So we just want to continue that because this is the backbone of our economy. This is what keeps Chicago thriving, is our neighborhoods, not just downtown, but our true neighborhoods.
And it's what's going to make those businesses be able to stay as well, right, if you patronize them, because if not, they're going to eventually go away.
And we don't want that.
Keep the doors open and hire people.
They're
the backbones of our economy. And actually, the big boxes are also joining in on the Buy Local campaign. In some places, they say, you buy local, we'll give you a gift card.
Good for them.
So you can come to our big store.
Yeah.
It's City Treasurer Stephanie Neely and a Chief Small Business Officer for the City, Roxanne Nava. And so, Stephanie, you're going out. You're moving on. But you're going to leave the city solvent, correct?
Oh, beyond solvent.
All right.
I manage a bunch of money, and we've made a bunch of money, and it's been a pleasure. I think this may be my last interview, so thank you for having me.
We'll have you back in your new job.
Oh, okay. Well, I can come back to the Allstate or,
a showcase studio.
You're in the right place.
And you're in good hands.
Yeah. She's already working it.
Yeah, you can tell. Have a great holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.